Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Most of the major errors ravaging the church today, whether it be easy believism or the church growth movement or the prosperity gospel or the emergent church movement or nominal Christianity or the invasion of secular psychology into the church or all of them are debunked by the Sermon on the Mount. And most of them are debunked by the very first sentence on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In fact, many of the errors of the church growth movement and the emergent church movement could have been avoided even before you even get to verse 3 when Jesus starts the sermon. We could have avoided those just by learning from the setting of the sermon, the way that Jesus preached it. Verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying. Now that's kind of an elaborate introduction. In the Matthew, the word mountain always signifies a special event. Jesus sitting down points to a posture of official teaching, and when it says he opened his mouth, that adds to the import. It signifies the beginning of a public address, an official address. And so it's an elaborate introduction signifying a speech of great significance. And from there, Matthew gives us a very interesting description of this audience. According to verse 2, Jesus is teaching his disciples in this sermon. The sermon is for the disciples, believers, Christians. That's who it's directed to. When Jesus said, blessed are you, in verse 10, who's he talking to? That applies to believers, not unbelievers, right? When Jesus says, ask and you'll receive, that's talking to Christians, not non-Christians. When he says, don't worry because your Father, he takes care of the sparrows, he takes care of the flowers, he'll take care of you, that's believers, not unbelievers. So this applies to the children of God. Sermon on the Mount is for disciples. That's who it's preached to. However, it's very important to also notice that Jesus taught all this to his disciples in the presence of the multitude. And they comment on the end about his sermon. So they're hearing. Jesus speaks up. He talks loud enough, volume loud enough, to where the whole crowd can hear him. That's by design. Jesus was instructing his 12, but in front of a multitude, and he spoke loudly enough so they could hear, because this is a sermon designed for the disciples, designed to be overheard by the world. Now that's important. We can learn a lot from that. That's our model for ministry. The New Testament is written for the people of God, but designed to be overheard by the world. The folks in the seeker-sensitive movement these days have said, let's devote Sunday mornings to trying to reach the lost, not building up the saints. The saints can build themselves up. They got their own Bibles. They can kind of learn on their own. We need to reach the lost. And so we need to devote Sunday mornings to preaching, to attracting lost people, and to addressing the world directly. And sometimes people have asked me why I don't do that more. Some people say, why don't you preach more gospel sermons, more evangelistic messages? My answer to that question is, every one of my sermons is evangelistic. At least it ought to be. We don't have two different messages, one for building up the church and the other for evangelism. Everything that we teach about how to live the Christian life is evangelistic. It's the gospel. It's all the gospel. Because it points people to God's way as opposed to the world's way. Most of the people who have come to Christ through my preaching in over the years have done so. It's interesting to me because it seems like it always happens after hearing a message, not so much about the cross or how to come to Christ, but rather after hearing messages about Christian living. That's just what I've observed. They hear what God's Word says about the godly Christian marriage or about one another commands or sexual purity or loving your enemies or whatever, some of these commands given to believers, and they see the beauty and the goodness. God opens their eyes to the desirability of His way, and they realize that they fall short of that, and they become broken, and they long for that, and they're driven to repentance. and they want to know how to come to Christ. The entire New Testament is the gospel. Every word in the New Testament is the gospel. God, Paul said, remember, he says, I don't do anything but preach the gospel. That's the only thing I do is preach the gospel. And what did he do? You read Paul's books and it's all Christian living stuff. That's the gospel. So we follow Jesus' example in ministry by preaching to the saved in such a way that's designed to be overheard by the lost. That's why every week is a great week to invite an unbeliever to church with you. Every week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. And if it is, why not tell a friend about the podcast so they can grow too? If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.